Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, July the 1st. Welcome to the second half of 2021. Well, if the second half is any better or more exciting than the first half, then I guess we're in for a pretty crazy second half, because the first half of the year has been just absolutely amazing. Well, I think we have a huge one today, a big Supreme Court opinion. There were actually two of them, two very conservative Supreme Court opinions that came down 6-3. The first one was about the state of California, where in California they had some kind of a crazy law that said if you were donating to a political organization or some kind of a political group, nonprofit, I guess, what they call, that if you were a private donor, that your name could be publicized, which is, of course, unconstitutional. And the court decided that it was unconstitutional. So that's a big blow for California. Also for Kamala Harris, because she was the attorney general who instated this back in California. So that's a big one in itself. The second one, though, this is a home run of a Supreme Court opinion. The Supreme Court, 6-3 again, so all six conservatives voted together, which is a good thing to see. It makes a lot of us feel better about the Supreme Court. 6-3 decision, they said that the state of Arizona can do its voting law. And just to make a long story short, in Arizona, they had passed a law similar to the one in Georgia, similar to the one that we're passing here in Texas, which basically created a parameter as to how people could vote. And many in the left, many Democrats were saying that these laws were preventing Hispanics or minorities from voting. And that was their whole argument. In fact, the Democrats were getting ready for that argument and to run that argument in 2022. That was going to be the only campaign issue they had. Well, the Supreme Court said, nah, Arizona can do it. They can do what they're doing, you know, and they can pass these laws as long as there's no blatant discrimination against any one group or another. So if you're going to oppose these laws, and I think this is the key and this is the good news, if you're going to say that this law discriminates or that this law is preventing Hispanics or blacks or minorities for voting, you're going to have to prove it, and you have to make a pretty good case that is, I mean, so you're going to have data. You're going to have information. And that's something we've been struggling here in Texas, because the Democrats didn't show up to vote. They walked out, as you remember, from the legislative session. There's a new session starting on the 8th of July, so I'm assuming this law will pass then. But the Democrats were claiming that, you know, Hispanics in Texas were being denied the right to vote because they didn't have enough time to vote. And I was on television, I was on Univision a couple of weeks ago, arguing that that's not the case at all, that the only thing that this particular law was doing in Texas was to simply outlining how we vote. And we have three ways of voting in Texas. You vote in person on election day, and then you have early voting for a couple of weeks, and then you have absentee voting if you're not going to be around. And those are the only three things that the law in Texas is presenting. And, you know, they were all saying that they were being denied their right to vote because they couldn't vote this way or vote that way. Anyway, I think the Supreme Court just put an end to all this nonsense today by saying a state can regulate its voting laws, its restrictions, and if you think, if you have evidence that it discriminates against one group or another, then the burden is on you to come up with that evidence. Now, here in Texas, of course, the problem is that the Republicans have been winning some districts where with very significant Hispanic population. They just won the election in McAllen, Texas. They won the mayor's election there. That's 95% Hispanic. They won Arlington and Fort Worth. Those two cities are about 50% Hispanic. So it's pretty tough to argue that the law is preventing Hispanics from voting when you've got Republicans winning Hispanic districts and you've got Hispanics voting. In other words, no Hispanic Republican has any problem voting. Apparently, the only people who have problem voting are Hispanic Democrats. Well, that's obviously There's another reason that they're not voting. It has nothing to do with the voting law. So this is one of those Supreme Court decisions that will be very consequential. You know, I had a constitutional lawyer one time who came to school where I was going to school, and he talked a little bit about Supreme Court opinions. And he said, look, there are significant opinions, and then you have a lot of, you know, just administrative insignificant opinions. Don't pay attention to all the little ones. Just focus on the big ones. And I think we have to say right now that this Roberts Court in 2021 has passed some pretty significant conservative positions. You had the one about the agency, the Catholic agency in Philadelphia. That's a huge victory for freedom of religion. And now you have this one about Arizona, the one about California and nonprofits. I don't remember some of the other ones, but these three are big ones. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that they talk about 10 years from now. This is the kind of stuff that, you know, will be around in 20 years, decisions of this nature. And I congratulate the court for standing up for the Constitution, because that's what they're doing. They're defending state sovereignty. They're defending the Constitution. And that is a wonderful thing to see. So this is the big news of the day. All the other stuff is not really big. I mean, it's news, but it's not really big. This is the one that will be remembered over time. The Supreme Court in Arizona, this is a big one. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. I want to say Happy Canada Day to all our Canadian friends. You know, we have several Canadians who follow our show. My friend Brian up in Ontario, my friends Rafael and Annabelle in Toronto, and my friend Joanne in Montreal. So Happy Canada Day to all of you. There may be a few others that I did not mention. I cannot remember all of them. But those three I know that catch the show from time to time. So Happy Canada Day up in Canada. I will say this, that right now the Montreal Canadiens are in the NHL playoffs, or in the finals, and it's not going well for the Montreal Canadiens. And if you know anything about the Montreal Canadiens, they're like the New York Yankees of the NHL. They're the team that won all those titles over the years. In fact, they won, I think at one point, they won like 12 or 13 titles in a row. I mean, they were unbelievable tradition there in that team up there in Montreal, the Montreal Canadiens. And right now, that team is a bit behind in the Stanley Cup final. So we wish them well. We wish them well. They're playing the Tampa Bay Lightning, I think, in the final. But, I like to root for the Montreal Canadiens, because that's where all the tradition is in that team. But Happy Canada Day to all of our friends up there. Well, you know, New York went after the Trump Organization, and they filed an indictment against the CFO. If this is all they have, this is a joke, actually. If this is all they have, and I'm afraid that it's probably all they have, just a little technical tax violation. I think that all these people invested in Trump derangement syndrome should request a refund, because if this is all they have after all this investigation, they're going to go after a technical tax violation. Look, you could put any American company under the microscope, especially, you know, when you've got some fanatical prosecutor going after the ownership of the company. You can put any company under a microscope and come up with a technical tax violation. So, you know, we know why they're doing it. New York is a mess. And we also know why they're doing it, because the Democrats have to be talking about Trump. They cannot stop talking about Trump, because when they're not talking about Trump, they're eating each other alive, as we're seeing with all these conflicts within the party. So I'm not putting a lot of hope or a lot of expectations about this investigation of the Trump Organization, but I do feel bad for the Trump family that put through this garbage. I mean, it's absolutely, this is not the right, this is bad for the country to politicize justice like this. It's bad for the country. It really is. Well, you know, somebody was asking me, why is President Trump in Texas? Well, because the Biden administration has given him an unbelievable topic called the border. The border is a mess. Gasoline prices are going up all the time. That's why he's back in the news. I mean, I never thought, frankly, that the Biden administration would be this stupid and give President Trump this early in the game. Gasoline prices are a horrible political problem. And right now, the national average is $3.09. And it was like $2.20 when Trump left office. That's a huge increase, and that has a big impact on the family budget, more than anything else. Plus, it also has a big impact on the overall budget, because everything else goes up when gasoline goes up. So that's why he's back in the news. The border, which is a total mess, and, of course, the price of gasoline, which is a bigger mess, because everybody can feel that. Every time you go to the station, you put gas in your car, you feel the cost of gasoline. What's a few other quick stories here as we're wrapping up. Meghan McCain, as I understand, is going to be leaving The View. And I honestly don't care. This is one of those stories where I honestly don't care one way or the other. I don't watch that show. I think they're just a bunch of crazy women in that show who are, frankly, just crazy. I have no idea why that show is on the air. I don't even know who watches the show. I think they've lost a lot of ratings over the years. The more they've gone to the left, I'm sure they lost a lot of ratings. But Meghan McCain, who, of course, she's the daughter of the late Senator McCain, she's out, apparently. She's out. She's fed up with the format, and I don't blame her. It's just a bunch of crazy women talking about Trump. That's all that it is. They just cannot stop talking about Trump. I mean, the Democrats cannot stop talking about Trump. It's an addiction. That's what I would call it. Well, Olivia de Havilland was born on this day in 1916. She passed away last year. Olivia de Havilland, of course, is one of the great actresses. And my recollections of her are in movies like Robin Hood, of course, Gone with the Wind. I mean, that is probably her most famous movie. But she and Errol Flynn made that movie Robin Hood. That's one of my favorite movies. It may not be technically one of the better movies made, but I love that movie. When I was a kid, I used to love that movie, Robin Hood. And she, of course, was Marion. She played the role of Marion, Robin Hood's love and admiration. So Olivia de Havilland, whose father, by the way, was the owner or the founder of the de Havilland Airplane Company, a major military airplane during World War II. On this day in 1863, the Battle of Gettysburg started. That, of course, turned out to be one of the great battles of the Civil War, and in many ways a decisive battle, because the South was hoping to basically strangle the capital, Washington, D.C., and they were going to do a sort of a runaround, and they couldn't do it. The Union really stood up at Gettysburg and probably kept the Union together. Had that war gone the other way, I'm not sure the Union or that we would be a country today. I think we would be two countries today. But the Battle of Gettysburg, there's a great movie that was made about this recently, and I would recommend that you watch it. It's just a great movie. I have a link to it on my post about the Battle of Gettysburg. And on this day in 1941, oh, I love these Joe DiMaggio stories. On this day in 1941, Joe DiMaggio made it to number 44. He would eventually make it to 56, but he was at 44 today. He got a hit, and he made it to 44. At that moment, that was the longest streak ever. He basically set a new record. So from now on, he would set a new record every time he would get a base hit. And just to show you how significant that 44 is, only one other player in Major League history, that was Pete Rose in 1978, has made it to 44. No one has gone beyond 44 except the jolting Joe DiMaggio, who did it, of course, in 1941. What a great story, the Joe DiMaggio streak of 1941. Thank you for listening. Everybody have a great day, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.